Yes. Okay, hi. So what is about now is the about the Cyprus attack. I hope that most people have read the draft, because I'm just going to really shortly show the most, let's say, discussed attack, which was on figure 2 in the document. It's shown now. Basically, what we do is that we induce a man-in-the-middle attack, but not being in the middle physically. So we do it just by normal SIP signaling means. So we set up a dialogue between Bob and Alice. Bob is the bad guy, and Alice the nice girl, like always. And hope so. And at some point, we try to trigger a re-invite from Alice. So we can do it in two ways. First is having the SIP session timer basically do the work for us. Or the second way is just doing some social engineering, you know, like try to motivate Alice to put us on hold or something like that. Once we have that, we will try to authenticate this request, this in-dialogue request, and use the credentials we got from this request. So what we do basically is we send an invite to the destination we want to have, we want to call to, and acts as, let's say, some kind of a back-to-back user agent that just modifies everything which is not protected by the digest authentication, which is actually almost everything. I mean, which is not protected. And at the end, just use this invite. So here, two proxies are shown, like proxy.com and p2, which is proxy2.com. Basically, I've introduced this proxy.com as an outbound proxy just because people have said on the list that most people use an outbound proxy. So if you think that, like Theo showed, if Alice is publicly reachable, you can just wipe out proxy.com. It's non-existing. And Alice is just part of proxy2.com. And the second remark is that, Bob could be in his own domain, but he could possibly also be in the domain of Alice. So depending on the policies that are implemented on the different proxies that you want to fool, basically. So, this is not really an attack for massively attacking like what Theo has shown, but it can be used actually for impersonating Alice, for example, or maybe using her well-credited account, let's say, for calling all kinds of destinations. And, so next slide, please. So what do we actually want with this draft? We just want document and attack, which is re-existing. Most people were adopting that. We've tested it with providers we won't name because it could have some problems, you know. But it works, basically. And what do we want with that? We just want to make people aware of that. We can, of course, discuss some mitigations or whatever, but I don't think it should be part of the document because else we won't get it published in the next 5 years, so it would be senseless. So any comments, questions?
Yeah. Eric Piscorla, as I understand it, this attack relies on a bid-down attack to degrade from authenticating the body to authenticating only small fractions of the headers, right?
Could you repeat that?
Yeah, as I understand it, this attack doesn't really work very well if the quality protection is set to cover the entire message, right?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Right, and so you and so in order for this to work, you need to bid down to force. So
of course.
Right. So the underlying problem here is that the as I understand it is that the receiving proxy is tolerating having only part of the message integrity protected.
Could you speak a little bit more clearly?
So you're generating a. You're simulating that you only are willing to tolerate that you're only willing to integrity protect part of the message, right? The proxy asks you, would you please digest, right? And you say yes, but I only do quality protection. I can't remember what it's called, but the lousy one, off the end, right? So the proxy allows you, or rather Jonathan, who you're attacking, to authenticate with only partial protection. Well, that proxy must not actually care about that content, because if it did, it wouldn't allow you to do that. So, I mean, the underlying defense is that if you want things to be cryptographically protected, you have to cryptographically protect them.
Well, I would say most proxies won't. Oh, wow. Most proxies won't care about the quality of protection because they do change themselves, the SDP and everything. So they don't care about protecting the body. I mean, that's what we do anyway. So, for example, for the outbound proxy, it really doesn't care about that. I mean, of course, you can have it.
It doesn't care about
the
why.
Full quality, if you have the full quality of protection, it's okay. But basically, RFC 3261 allows it perfectly. You can use it. And that's actually part of the problem, that only the digest, I mean, a lot of feature of digest authentication have been like, you know, beat down by the RFC itself just to allow background backwards compatibility. And in this case, you know, it's just like a lot of things which are possible.
Well, I understand, but I mean, there are whole classes of attacks that depend on modifying sections of digest which are not cryptographically protected, and the defense is to cryptographically protect them.
But that's only part of the attack he's talking about. He's talking about being able to make a different call, first of all, not just the same call but also his point, which I don't think he managed to get you to understand, is that using authInt in SIP will cause things not to work way too often. You just can't, because something in the middle is monkeying with the SDP anyway, and authInt is going to detect that and treat it as an attack.
It is an attack. I'm sorry, but the notion that you can somehow have defenses against when you refuse to cryptographically protect the things that need to be cryptographically protected is basically wrong.
Okay, the draft actually talks about two things, so maybe it's better to discuss. One thing is how to use, I mean, using SIP mechanism, you can actually manage to be in the middle. So basically to become a man in the middle using SIP mechanism. That's one thing. And the other is once you are a man in the middle, you can actually launch several attacks to digest, which I don't think is the interesting part, actually. So what I would like to get people to discuss is whether you think that, you know, it's a, you know, serious enough attack or realistic enough attack so that we have to do something about it. So the two parts.
Maybe we could have also look at the very last slide so that we just know what we actually want to do with the draft, because I think the possible mitigation sections was very weak, and I think it would be best to just remove it, and maybe for all the solutions that we have, and we know there are some, just document them in a best current practices or something like that, because if we really discuss them in that draft, we're never going
to
go somewhere.
But again, the solutions you have in the draft, they are trying to tackle the, you know, how do I become a man in the middle, not the digest attack, which is what Eric was discussing. So just to make sure that we are discussing about or talking about the same thing, please.
Theo Zorzavillis. There is no attack at a protocol level. It's just down to shit devices and badly implemented platforms. If a UA is careful about where it sends its credentials to, I don't walk up to any PIN number machine I see and start tapping in my PIN number for my ATM card, right? I only put it into a bank that I trust. And if you don't send credentials to things that you don't trust, there isn't a problem.
Well, there are actually means to, let it look like differently. So, for example, in the first publication he did, actually, there was a well-known trick, like you would just include yourself in the route header from the beginning, in the record route header, and put the final destination that you want to call afterwards in the contact, so that the one of the proxy is also maybe in the record route, and this way it looks like for Alice that the proxy is actually authenticating her and not some bad guy.
I'm not following that.
Yep. May I to the point?
To clear that up, but his point is that if the proxy you're talking through is dialog stateful, mm-hmm. it'll look to the UAC that the proxy is the one challenging it. So it's sending the challenge response by retransmitting to the proxy, but it's really being then routed to the attacker who's getting it.
Right, but you only send credentials to a proxy that should be getting the credentials, and that proxy should be stripping out.
So this is the other side, right?
The provider also needs to not be shit and strip out the credentials before it forwards it onto anything outside of that user.
Well, the problem is that with what you call, ladies, excuse me, shit the client, is a client which is strictly following RFC 3261. Because as a matter of fact, I think actually a reasonable implementation really selects to whom to speak. It doesn't speak to strangers when disclosing credentials. But as a matter of fact, if you want to make a RFC 3261 compliant client, you have to be prepared that your proxy server is not going to record route, and that means you shall be prepared to receive messages coming from somewhere else in your outbound proxy, and that establishes a completely different path.
But that you don't send credentials to those. So if you're trying to do outbound authentication, now there is an issue with end-to-end authentication, and that's not covered in this dialogue, in this draft at all. I sent an email about it. And the other one that there is an issue with is refer. So sending out a dialogue refers.
But you're suggesting a possible solution, but there is no normative reference we could rely on.
Okay, we've got 4 minutes, so please go to the point and be concise.
Okay, I'm interested in a different topic where there's no authent or anything. The attack that's most interesting to me is that somebody can bait me into, you know, that I can cause Hadriel to cause 1-800 or 1-900 pay Fluffy. And I read your description of this attack and I was quite surprised. It didn't seem to be how SIP worked to me. I mean, I thought that the URI used in the digest calculation was the request URI. And you claim it was the URI embedded in the actual down in the header parameter.
It doesn't matter, actually. RFC 3261 says you don't have to check it. You should not check it.
It says the one down below you don't have to check. Certainly, the digest, it doesn't matter. You don't check it. You have to compute it into a cache, a hash. There's no such thing as not checking it. There's which URI you use. My understanding is you use the request URI. Now, I might be wrong on
this. It doesn't matter. It might have changed.
You are wrong. You must use the URI that the original sender used, and that's the one that's in the attribute on the authorization.
So the request URI is never authenticated in SIP, is what we're getting at here.
Unless you can determine that they are equivalent, which is...
Right. Okay, so the bug then that we're having is that people are making their access control decisions about whether I'm allowed to phone a 1-900 number or not, are basing them off of the request URI instead of the one that's in the header.
It's an authentication decision, not an authorization decision. And all digest authentication gets you is that whoever constructed the response hash value knew the password associated with the user ID. The fact that the original request URI is in there, is an element of it, but it's not, in our case, a very important element because it means that the request URI is the one that's actually on the request line is not integrity protected by digest in SIP.
And if I remember correctly, we did that to actually address call forwarding because the request URI could have changed actually. When we were doing 3261. That's why we didn't check it.
That's correct, and it's also actually true even in the web. Yeah. The same problem exists even in HTTP usage of the same spec.
Yeah. Okay, we're taking Hadriel. Robert, if he wants to say something. Okay, so Hadriel, and we cut the line.
Cool, two comments. So one thing that is covered by the hash is the method name. So one of my comments on the mailing list was, well, this only applies to domain administrators that allow invites without registering in advance, which we can debate whether that's a legitimate thing to require registering your device before you can send an invite or not, but it's common practice anyway. At least I argue it's fairly common. I don't know, somewhat common, whatever. So that's one way. But the other issue is that, I lost my train of thought, God damn it. basically the problem, Theo, is that it looks like it comes from your proxy. And there is not a heck of a lot you can do about that. And I don't know that there is a solution to that problem, ultimately. We can include more in the hash, but I don't know that there's anything we can really do about that, other than making the proxy strip it. which we don't currently say to do anywhere in any normative statement.
Okay.
Right?
Answer to that.
Well, so basically, there have been a lot of, you know, solutions, mending, or, you know, some kind of a lot of things that are actually currently done by people, but which are documented nowhere. It's not, you know, you cannot, like, say, where's the RFC number if
right.
some operator asks for. And on the other side, I think it would be worth documenting it somewhere, maybe in a best current practices.
So your proposal is to document the attack itself as an RFC, or?
We have to decide what to do, actually. And we've been talking this session about different attacks. We have to decide whether we want to address them or not. If in the case that we said this is not important enough, maybe documenting it at least is a good idea.
Oh, okay.
But in any case, I mean, what I would like to do is the same thing as we did before. I mean, just take the discussions to the list to see if this is serious enough, if it's realistic enough, if in general deployment.
It seemed to me from the mailing list, sorry for interrupting, it seemed to me from the mailing list like there was quite a bit of interest that this was a legitimate attack in the real world. I don't know. There needs to be an RFC. I think we should go work on trying to solve it. We got it documented in a draft. That's good enough. But also to Ecker's point, even if you don't bid down, that doesn't matter. You can use the SDP that he generates to you to generate the invite. You can't use it to receive media, but you can still send media because you'll get the answer back and the SDP answer, and therefore you can still cause spam and other things. So same with the baiting attack. Just because the SDP is signed with authent doesn't really prevent you from using it to get into your call made annoying.
Okay, we are running out of time already. So, I mean, there's certainly interest in this, so please go on discussing this on the list, and we have to decide whether we want to basically, you know, address it, document it, or something else.
What about what I proposed, like, remove the mitigation section?
Keep on discussing it, and then we'll decide if we have to do that, yeah. Okay, thank you. This concludes our session today. Don't forget that right now we're going to have the ad hoc meeting in Yosemite A. It's right now at 3 o'clock. Okay?
That's the registration desk area.
Yeah, that room is off the registration area, yeah.
Thank you.